This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 180, sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service and Netflix. Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 180. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Howdy.
We are iFanboy.com. We like comic books. We read comic books. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best one they liked. They write about it on iFanboy.com. And then we come here and talk about it in this year podcast, along with other books of the week, other topics of interest, and other kinds of fun stuff. And before we get to the show, we'd like to warn everyone, remind you that this is a review show, so we'll be talking about the plots and the stuff that happened in the books. So there'll be spoilers. If you haven't read your books yet, pause the show, come back. You'll thank yourself at a later date. And make sure you listen to the end. We got a giveaway, another giveaway this week. We got a winner. So if you want to know if you won the giveaway, the very exciting giveaway, which I'm not going to illuminate on,
and a new
listen to the end of the show.
And a new contest to announce, too.
Yes. So listen to the end. There'll be some good stuff at the end of the show if you don't listen to our breakdown period, which is the last 10 minutes of the show. Make sure you listen this time. This week, Ron J. Richards had the pick. Ron.
So this is a big Connor, you should sit back and pat yourself on the back and give me a big I told you so.
I did. I took my pants off first, though. So now we're all set.
Well, now that's weird.
And it wasn't his back.
Yeah. All right. So so this week for the pick of the week, I bestowed upon you Green Lantern Corps number 35. And this is a book that is it years now? It's at least a year that you've been telling me I should be reading it.
At least a year, yes.
At least a year.
More than that, because it's since Sinestro Corps, and that's been
So it's been a long time, and he's been telling me I should read it. And you know, and honestly, like my only kind of reason for not reading it was I just didn't want another monthly book, and I kind of felt like I got my Green Lantern fill in Green Lantern, and I knew there was a bunch of characters who I probably didn't care about, and yada yada. But knowing that, you know, Connor's been, you know, you've been loving this book for a long time, combined with the fact that I'm loving The Blackest Night, this whole event that's going on in Green Lantern, and totally enjoying it and totally, you know, wanting to get more of it, I figured, you know, maybe I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe I'll give Green Lantern Corps a shot. But what put me over the edge was that the cover of issue 35 was just fantastic.
It jumps off the page.
Yeah, you've got so the cover is just basically it's in a yellow but also orange hue, which I thought was an interesting kind of tie to the main Green Lantern title, given what's going on with Agent Orange. But it's got a yellow hue, and Sinestro kind of coming at you somewhat in a, you know, you want to mess with me pose, but also kind of in a Christ pose, but also, you know, like...
also in a Hitler-y kind of way.
Well, I don't know if Hitler ever posed like this. He was a little, yeah, but...
his hair.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is look at his hair, and he's just turning into Hitler. He's turning into purple Hitler.
Well, it's not turning into. When Van Sciver redesigned him for Sinestro Corps, he said... He's Hitler,
right? But but other artists haven't really carried that through, and this is an Van Sciver piece, and now it looks as if like that's a noticeable change to. I know, oh my god, I'm narrowing down Sinestro's haircut, but this is a difference in Sinestro's hair since we've most recently seen him.
Maybe he just ran out of product. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So I saw that cover. I saw that cover and I was like, damn, I got to pick it up. And boy, am I glad that I did. And it also kind of tied into, we've been talking a lot on the website and on the podcast about just the idea of jumping into a comic that if you're interested in it, just give it a shot. You'll figure it out. And I was like, you know, let me walk the walk here. So I picked up this issue 35, and it happens to be part 3 of the Emerald Eclipse storyline. No idea how many parts there are going to be. I'm guessing maybe 4, 5, 6. I don't know. And just dove right in, and am I glad that I did. It was just this is like an action movie. This is like a sci-fi action movie. The book kind of opens up with a kind of a jail breakout at an OA where the all the Yellow Lanterns are stored, or in, not stored, but in science cells, in their jail cells. And there's a Red Lantern just tearing through Green Lanterns, tearing through Yellow Lanterns. And then at the same time, all the Yellow Lantern rings kind of break free and start finding their, you know, their lanterns. And in an awesome kind of rallying kind of moment, you know, Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner and Kilowog and all the other Green Lanterns burst into the area in this great two page kind of splash page kind of, you know, great scene. And it just like pretty much once I hit that 2-page spread, this book had me. I was there. I was like, all right, I'm on board.
And, it's a fun book. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like I said in my review on iFanboy.com, I got to give Tomasi credit that, you know, for not knowing who more than half these characters are, not knowing what, you know, who this, you know, how this Red Lantern is got out and is doing this, without not knowing the other storylines in the book, you know, there's stuff I didn't understand, there's stuff I didn't get, but it was told in a way that it filled in the blanks, and anything I needed to know I was able to find out or figure out on my own. Which is really a subtle skill in the world of comic booking. You know, admittedly, you know, people have the complaint about continuity, and it's, you know, confusing to jump on because other writers haven't been good at this. And Tomasi, I guess he's drawing upon his, you know, his time as an editor or whatever, I don't know, but he made it really easy just to slide right into this book and read it and enjoy it.
It was good. I'm glad you picked it up. It's been really fun. It's been a great combination with Green Lantern, the regular book, and it really fleshes out the universe, because this is really everything happening around Hal Jordan.
Yep.
Green Lantern, the book, is really about Hal Jordan, focuses on Hal Jordan, and there's a whole other world happening. The Green Lantern Corps is huge, and the Blackest Night stuff is affecting them all.
Yeah.
And so this really gives you the whole scope of what's happening. You feel much more dread because you see this is a whole universe, you know, wide thing. And I know Josh has just recently started reading it.
I've been reading it for a few months. If this is part 3, then I think I got on at 32, because I read the last part of the previous one, and I read all the parts of this story. I don't think this was the strongest issue of these. Like, it was a good comic book, but I was a little surprised that I think it was pick of the week. One of the things is right at the beginning, I read the first 3 or 4 pages a bunch of times over because I kept losing track of what was happening a lot. And I really wanted to understand it, but because of the colors, the Red Lantern was making everything red, and I was like, wait,
I can kind of see what you're saying, but I got the sense of chaos and oh shit.
But because of the same reason that I didn't know who the characters were necessarily, right. I was trying to sort out who was the red guy, who was the yellow guy. And one thing that got confusing was that the Yellow Lantern who came out was like rooting for the Red Lantern. And then after that, he was rooting against him like a panel or two later. And it threw me because the colors had all changed. And I was like, what am I looking at?
So I thought that was a funny moment because he was rooting for the Red Lantern to kill the Green Lanterns, and he thought he was safe in a science cell. And then
I figured out what was happening.
Yeah.
Right.
But it took me, like, literally I went back and forth for a while. But I do know what was interesting is that I read this. This is, I think, the first thing that I read. I got on the train, and literally, like, I think I read it my entire ride home.
Yeah. It's very dense. So, very dense.
Like I got my $2.99 worth. And I got one more question, and maybe Connor, you know the answer. Kyle's girlfriend, the Korrigarian, I guess that's what they are. Yeah. Who's hot, by the way. it's true. She's one of those characters, like the hot character. Has she been Sinestro's daughter all along, or is that a reveal?
I think this is a reveal. I mean, she's also a relatively new character herself, right. So for, at least to me,
I got the sense that it was a reveal. Yeah. So at the end of the issue, she and another Green Lantern are on Korrigar trying to keep the peace, and then the last page, like the cover teased, Sinestro appears, you know, taking out the other Green Lantern and saying that I'm just here for a heart to heart between with my daughter. And so I was like, I felt the weight of that moment. And I just
got a feeling nobody knows that because I doubt they let Sinestro's daughter be a Green Lantern.
Yeah, that's a good point. No,
well, and Ron, the other thing that you could know before this is that girl's dating Kyle now.
Okay.
Like so, and they've decided like 2 issues ago they decided to break the Green Lantern rules and date each other.
Ooh, dangerous.
So they're not allowed to date. They're not allowed to date. Yeah.
So they said screw that. And she's like a doctor, I guess.
Okay.
I
just noticed on the final page of the issue with Sinestro, and it's a great, you know, he's kind of green lit with a Green Lantern kind of lighting him, and but I just noticed he's got a Sinestro Corps armband. I didn't know. Has that been a part of his costume the whole time? I just noticed it today.
On the cover, he's got an armband on too, but you can't see where the logo would be.
Yeah, but it's like a Nazi swastika.
They're gonna push this Nazi thing just a little too far.
They might. Yeah.
Maybe a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
I think.
But yeah, no. But it was good. I mean, it read really well, and I was able to understand. And the thing is, like you said, you were kind of surprised it would be the pick of the week. I only had 10 books this week. And there was a bunch of books that could have been, but none of them that was like none of them that really. Of course, any book could be, but none of the books actually really kind of reach out to me. I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I picked up this comic, and maybe because this was new and a little bit of
I can understand that.
Yeah,
very
so
much.
But
discovery really helps. But I thought it was a solid issue. Like I think
it was.
Josh is right in that. If you look at the last three or four, I think there's been some really, really good ones in the last three or four, and this was a solid one. But if you go back,
it's like a 3.5.
Okay.
I think to me. That's what I would give it. Like if it's a B+, B. Right. But you know, comparative.
But it was good, and I you know, it just really will. I think anyone reading and waiting for the Black Knight to start, this will really enhance your experience. That's really the important thing. It'll enhance it in a good way.
Absolutely.
You can just start reading it.
Yeah.
You've been reading Green Lantern and you've been thinking about this, just pick this issue up. You'll be fine.
Yeah, honestly, anybody reading Green Lantern who's not reading Green Lantern Corps, now I'm on board. You should be reading it. It makes it better. It makes it more fun. But I think it's important to note that I still don't feel like I have to read it. You know, and who
it's
knows?
A really interesting way that they've done that because you don't.
Yeah.
Like, because I've been reading Green Lantern all along and I don't feel like I've missed anything. People who've read them both all through Sinestro Corps say it makes it better, but you never missed anything.
Yeah.
I don't know how they work that magic out.
Yeah.
It's better, but it's not necessary, which makes it sound like you shouldn't read it, but you should.
Right. So the other comic book that was really, really close to me pick of the week was Captain America 49.
What made this one good for you that the other ones hadn't?
What I love is when Captain America, now Bucky Captain America, isn't even in the book.
Yeah.
Like I find that just amazing how I was completely enthralled with this, you know, cuz so Captain America 49 goes back to see what's up with Sharon Carter and what she's up to, and she's, you know, kind of at home in her family's estate recovering from everything that's happened to her. We start off with a chilling kind of, you know, snapshot into her mind and her nightmares of actually killing Steve Rogers, the original Captain America. And we kind of, you know, and we see Falcon's trying to find the evil Cap from the 50s, and we get introduced to Sharon Carter. You know, reintroduced to Sharon Carter's aunt who romanced with Steve Rogers back in the war. And I just found myself incredibly enthralled in the story. Like it was so gripping in terms of what the pieces were being laid out. And you know, and Captain America's not even in the damn book.
You know who's awesome? I've probably said this before. Sam Wilson is awesome.
Okay.
I love that character to death. That one page where he's like, what are we calling? Evil Cap? I don't know. Bad Cap. Call him Bad Cap. It's fine.
It was a funny week for Brubaker between this and Incognito. But this was a throwback to the period of time right after Steve died.
Yeah.
Issue.
Yep.
Like it felt like that time, right, where there wasn't really a Captain America and it was all about the supporting cast. And it was really –
And that was really the kind of thing that kind of held it back for me, though, because I felt as if, like, finally in Captain America, we've gotten over Steve Rogers dying, and now I've accepted Bucky and stuff like this, and this felt like pulling me back to that, obviously because they're leading up to the next issue 50 and whatever the black Captain America logo that they're teasing, and, you know, whether or not Steve's coming back or not, that's a speculation. I don't think he is, but I was kind of – while I really enjoyed it, I didn't like being jerked back. I wanted more Bucky. So, yeah.
You know what this feels like? This feels like a 70s comic.
Yeah.
Like, there's all this, like, romance maybe isn't the word, but almost melodrama going on in the background that feels like old comics to me, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, I can
really
see that.
Like, yeah. What the bit that's going on at the end, the hallucinations, do you get the sense that, I don't know, like at the end I was like, well, wait, what's next? What's happening? Like, damn it.
Right. That was the point, I think. Like, what?
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
Like, is that Satan behind the Red Skull? Like, when laughing? Like, you know.
Well, the thing, or are they really screwing with her from afar?
Yeah, yeah.
Of
the other thing
that
she did was reminded me how much I missed the Red Skull Armanzola sort of dynamic
combination. Yeah.
I don't know. Captain America's an odd book because sometimes it's really great, other times you're wondering where they're going with it, and sometimes I just feel like whatever this huge story is might be trapping Bucky. Because I don't feel like he's fully out there. Even though he shows up in New Avengers, I still don't feel like he's a part of the universe yet.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's to his detriment or not. I can't figure it out.
And the question
I want him to just be out there having adventures that aren't attached to the same long adventure, which I like.
Right.
But sometimes I just want him to go out.
And I think him being in New Avengers will help that. We just need time with it, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think it actually is. It speaks to probably his actual place in the Marvel universe. Would it be there? Like it is unsure. Like what's he going to be? What's he going to turn into?
No.
Yeah.
He's gone.
I can hear that.
Accept it.
He's only gone when the movie comes out. He'll come back when the movie comes.
So, Amazing Spider-Man number 591. Connor,
I love this issue.
Yeah, okay. There are three reasons why I wanted to talk about this issue. One is that this I believe this represents Dale Eaglesham's first work at Marvel.
I guess. Yeah. This is the first time I've seen him draw Marvel.
Is Spider-Man hulking and gigantic?
No,
but
the
Human Torches.
Spider-Man. Yeah, Human
Torches.
Human Torches. Yeah. And Marvel coloring is kind of not making it look as good as typical. Number two was – so what's happened in this comic book is that Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four are in the Macroverse. And they apparently had an adventure there years ago, and now they've returned and they're trying to fix a wrong, and you know that's not important. What's important is that while they're in the Macroverse, time in our world is moving much faster. So while they're only gone for an issue's worth of stuff, they miss 2 months on Earth. And
so for every hour they're in the Macroverse, 13 and a half days go by in their regular world.
And there's a series of moments of in between panels with Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four where they show what's going on back on Earth and showing what's happening to everybody in the supporting cast. And I could have read 170 pages of that.
It was a brilliant stylistic and structural move, I thought.
Yeah.
It, literally between a conversation between Spider-Man and Mr. Fantastic, in between word balloons, you'd have this whole set of Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Thursday, and you'd see the characters' lives progressing, and really, you see how Spider-Man's life is just completely upside down in this course of a month that he's gone, or 2 months, but when he gets back, you see that his life is no longer what it was when he left, and it was a really great way to do that, and I loved that sequence. Every page, I was like, ooh.
Yep.
You know, what's going to happen now? Ooh, what happened to Aunt May? Oh, no. Like, it was really great.
And Slott wrote it in a way that was really clever in that they tied into each other. Now Aunt May's dating J. Jonah Jameson's father, and J. Jonah Jameson's trying to get back with his wife, and she says, take me to my favorite restaurant. And so he makes a reservation, but then Aunt May and his father end up taking the reservation, and J. Jonah's wife gets mad. Like, it was just, like, little clever, subtle things that were just – it was almost like a Seinfeld episode.
And Peter's nominal love interest ends up – Peter disappears, so she meets another guy, and then she's got a boyfriend. By the time when Peter comes back, his girlfriend's gonna be gone, and it was just a really great way to turn the, you know, because his life has been okay at the end, but now it's upside down. He's been gone for 2 months, so he hasn't paid his rent.
Yeah,
and it's just it was a really great. I loved this issue.
This issue was great,
really, really fun.
And so the other,
and I liked the way they alternated the artists. It was a good way to show this is the real world, this is the Macroverse, and Eaglesham drew the real world stuff, and that was really, really
and
good.
And Kitson drove the Macroverse stuff. And the big thing was is that throughout the entire this two-issue arc, Johnny Storm was getting mad because he didn't know Peter's name, and he didn't know Peter's identity, and yet he felt as if he did at one point. And I thought that was interesting because it's the first time really addressing in a year of what happened. And How did you feel about how they handled it, Connor?
It's all right.
I thought it was not quite sure
what the philosophy is.
Because what happens is that, you know, Spider-Man's trying to explain, they're talking about mind wipe, like, have they been mind wiped and how did Spider-Man do it? And he's like, no, there's no mind wipe. But then somehow, and Spider-Man's trying to protect his identity, and Fantastic Four is coming back saying, listen, we're family, we need to trust each other, and we trust you, but, you know, you've got to tell us, and yada, yada. And, you know, and somehow Peter has this knowledge of what would happen. He's like, well, you know, it's kind of like a psychic block, and when you see me, it's all going to come back. Like, how does he know that?
He's smart.
I don't know. It's weird. It's kind of ham-fisted. But
he's existed extra-dimensionally.
Yeah.
All sorts of weird shit happens when you do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It just for the first time, Spider-Man. It looks as if Spider-Man has a knowledge of what happened to him, which doesn't jive with me. But that's just me.
Well, clearly they've got something going on in the background, and Slott's the only one really that's been dealing with it. He also dropped a Mary Jane reference at the end of this issue, too.
Yep.
But he's been dealing with all the overarching mythology stuff, if you will. So they obviously have some end point or end game in mind with this whole mind wipe thing, and we'll see where that goes.
Curious. So
Now, I realized that when I picked up Submariner Comics, number one, that not until I actually had it in my hand and opened it to have any idea who was writing it.
Who was?
The thing is, I've seen this cover for months. I was aware of this book coming out. I was aware that Mitch Breitweiser was going to be the artist on it, and I was looking forward to it. And, like, this has got to be the first book in the history of I don't know how long that I went, I have no idea who wrote this before I bought it, which is really interesting to me because I don't do that very often. It was a combination of artist and character that made me want to pick it up, and it was actually Roy Thomas who wrote it.
Oh, nice.
Now, this resulted in what I think is a lower than deserved score on the rating system at iFanboy.
Yes.
Because I think that people – now, granted, maybe I read it and gave it a little bit of a gimme because I knew it was Roy Thomas, and he writes a little more – we'll call it anachronistically. Yeah. I mean, and that's what he is. However, I was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed the hell out of this.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing as the Captain America comic we didn't get to talk about a couple of weeks ago. It's a tribute to the World War II comics. It's the 70th anniversary issue, so it's a story set in a World War II period, and it's basically just Namor versus Nazis. And it was a nice little story, and for the first few pages, you wonder who you're supposed to be rooting for.
Yeah.
Because Namor is like, I'm not getting involved in this conflict. And then he's like, you know what, maybe I will help the Nazis. And you're just like, uh-oh.
And I was like, are they really going to do this? Like, they got me. They totally did.
Yeah, he got me too. I was like, wait a minute. He was an invader. Wait, what? No. And then I was like, wait, but who do I root for? And then of course, he turns, you know, then he realizes he was just faking the whole time and he sinks this U-boat. But it looked beautiful. And
honestly, like, did Brett Weiser, was he not perfect for this?
Yeah,
like,
he was.
The type of story it was and the whole thing in it, and he killed it. I mean, every once in a while, you'd be reading through something, and we talked to him a while ago, and he was really excited about it. I hadn't seen any of it. He killed this.
He's really good. He's really good with this kind of stuff.
Yep. This is a lot more.
Even in a different kind of style too. It was not like the style he did for other books I've read with him. It was a little looser. Yeah. A lot of the underwater stuff was a little sketchier. It was good.
He's so good. I mean, I was moved to buy. I mean, I bought a page in New York and the New York Con from him. I mean, from the Uncanny Annual because it was, you know, like he's good. His pencils are tight. Well, they're not tight, but you know what I mean. Yeah, like tight.
These are a lot more sketchy and loose.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot more. You can see the brush, and it's not as tight. And it worked for this.
Right.
It worked really well. For this.
I didn't actually mean tight like they were tight pencils. I meant tight like they were tight.
Okay.
Yeah,
we got you.
Okay.
We got you.
You hear me, bro?
I feel you.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Red Top.
They do. Go outside some more. Did you, Josh, read any of the backup stuff?
Tried to.
Yeah, I didn't read it. I looked through it. I thought the art was surprisingly good on the old Golden Age stuff.
The Phil Everett stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried.
I didn't read it.
Yeah. No, I decided to use the, like, I got the gist of it through looking at the pictures.
It also looked like it was the same story or similar. So I just
There were a lot of words. At one point, there was like a panel, and then there was like a panel full of words, like with no picture in it at all. And I was like, ugh. And it's really
I like Namor. He's ridiculous. Like he, you know, at one point he's in a bar with a trench coat on and a fedora, and some woman comes to talk to him. She calls him Namor. How do you know who I am?
Also,
you got
you'll
wings,
notice
you got wings
that
on your feet. You're not wearing pants.
Is his origin is exactly the same as in his very first appearance in 1939.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the same name, same backstory, same everything. Like, he's very consistent. No one's been like, oh, Namor's way out of character. That doesn't happen.
I love Namor.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
You know what impressed the shit out of me, and this is going to be directed towards Connor,
was
Action Comics 876.
Yes.
Oh, man, there were some fantastic pages in this thing. Just the first couple pages were...
Kryptonian knife fight.
Oh, exactly.
This issue was basically a long brawl between Ursa and Nightwing and Flamebird, and she came equipped with a kryptonite knife.
Yes.
And that led to lots of blood. And this is the bloodiest Superman comic I might have ever seen. And that includes the death of Superman.
Yeah.
And this was a knockdown, drag out brawl. And it was.
There were all
awesome.
Of these full page, like, figure pieces that were just like they really felt them. Like, it was. I was really impressed by the art. I kept being like, who's this Eddie Barrows guy? Because he's kind of awesome.
Yeah,
this was an awesome, awesome issue. And also, the actual writing, like the words, mostly of, I guess, Ursa's
narration,
I was just really impressed by the quality of the prose of it, actually. I was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, that's Greg Buck in a nutshell, right? I mean, he gives you great action, but he also builds the character through the action, you know?
And then finally, you know, the last bit is, I don't know who these two characters are, Nightwing and Flamebird. And if you were to ask me a couple of months ago, would you want to read a book about them? I would say no. No, I would not. And he did a really good job of very, very quickly making them be somebody that I was interested in paying attention to.
I love the moment where they get the upper hand on her and they have the opportunity to kill her. And, you know, one of them wants to kill her. The other one says, no, Superman wouldn't kill her. And that was a really nice moment. It was a really strong issue. And anyone who jumped off this book thinking, I don't want to read a book without Superman in it, needs to turn around and get the last two issues.
Absolutely. And this was the best of them.
Yes.
It's been great. And it was, I mean, like, literal great melding of art and story at the same time. I'm flipping through it right now and I'm impressed again. It's really something special, I thought.
I didn't even notice there was a second artist at the very end.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess you can see that. I was into it.
No, I didn't notice. That's the thing. Yeah. I was so into it. And the style was similar that I didn't notice until I got to the very end. But it was good.
Cool. Awesome. So real quickly, we just want to thank one of our sponsors, Discount Comic Book Service. If you want to purchase your comic books online, which a lot of people are doing these days, Discount Comic Book Service is the place to go. They've got everything that you can order in previews. You can order from all the titles that all the major companies put out. They've got discounts, you know, ridiculous discounts, like 40-50% off all the major titles. You can track all of your orders online, and they've, you know, got great shipping options. It's really, you know, of all the online retailers, Discount Comic Book Service appears to be the one that everybody seems to love and swear by. So if you want to do your comics purchasing online, go to dcbservice.com. That's dcbservice.com, Discount Comic Book Service, and we thank them for their support.
I would say that when I picked up and read Incognito this week, I thought to myself, that is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The middle piece of it. Like, I thought the beginning was what, like, I didn't know who this new character was, and I didn't really, and then the guy's talking about trying to track down the Overkill brother, but then the moment the page turned and started with the main character saying, with the narration, I was having trouble figuring out how to kill my best friend, up until the point where the people come to kill him, like, that whole sequence was fantastic.
Yeah.
I would say none of that stuff really bothered me, but the part you mentioned is the strongest.
Yeah. That totally was the strongest. Absolutely,
I like this issue the most. I've liked it more with each consecutive issue. It's still, at the end of the day, I'm just like, another criminal. But I did really like the middle section, like Ron said, and I thought it was laugh out loud funny at some points when they were screwing with the guy's landlord over and over and over again.
Well, I just love this narration and talking about it and talking about, you know, like, you know, I've got to kill him and you know, this, I can't deal with this, and then it's going on with it. Then the moment in the car where he breaks down, he's like, listen, you little fat fuck. I was just like, oh, this is great. And then the realization that he liked the guy, and I thought that whole middle sequence was so good. So. But yeah, the rest of the issue.
I'm still not sure about the overall story of this book. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yet.
Well, so this was the time, though, that, like, because before I didn't really care about this character at all, but this is the one where I was like, I think I get who he is, and I think I'm enjoying it now. Whereas right. before, I was much more reticent. I also like the fact that, like, the two dudes who come after him at the end, like, he's not even concerned. Like, you get the sense of who he was in the criminal hierarchy or whatever. Like, right. this guy has a terrible evil laser gun, and the other guy breathes fire, and that's not his problem.
Right.
Like, yeah. taking care of them is not the deal. Like, that sort of gets you how sort of badass he is. I know, it's fun. And also, I think that this was a really strong issue for Sean Phillips,
oh,
too.
Oh, the art was beautiful. The art was really good.
The stuff in the car, yeah. you know, that page you're actually talking about specifically.
Yeah.
Really nice. And Val Staples, too, yeah. to the same extent. I really dug this issue. I think this was probably my pick of the week this week.
Wow. DMZ number 41, I want to talk briefly because it was a one-shot issue with art by Nikki Cook, Brian Wood wrote, focusing on the character Z, who I feel is one of the more underused characters of this whole of DMZ. She's Maddie's kind of girlfriend, the medic.
You don't really know much about her, do you?
No, you don't. And basically this issue is kind of filler until the next big story arc, I think, where she's, you know, after all the events that have happened with Parco becoming the governor and recently he's, you know, trying to kick out, you know, the U.S. government and the free states. And also there's a conflict arising between Trustwell, the outsourced military kind of people. She says she gets out. She moves up to the Upper West Side. She, you know, leaves Maddie, leaves the whole thing behind, and still gets pulled into it. And so it was a nice little character piece. And Nikki Cook's art was really good. But again, like, the part of what was great for me, DMZ, was the edginess of it. And I feel as if Brian Wood, after now establishing order and setting up this government, has lost that edge. And I'm just waiting for him to get it back. So. That's DMZ for you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I think of DMZ as like this long, epic. So I, you know, I feel like he's in the stabilization period, and it's all going to fall to shit eventually.
Probably, yeah, probably. So, but I'm just waiting for that. Yeah, and I want to see more. I want to see more Z. So
yeah. Really quick, the Fables number 83, which is the first part of the Fables crossover, where it's going to go back and forth with Jack for, I think, 9 issues or something like
and
that.
Then they're spinning off a new title from it too.
Are they?
Yeah.
How do you know that? And I don't know that.
I don't know.
I don't pay attention to stuff. This is sort of we're going with sort of a new status quo. This is just a really fun issue. If you're out there reading it, like, I think the however many issues it was since the end, it's been like the last 4 or 5 issues have been kind of eh. There's been things that have been really good, but he's setting up a new status quo, and so it sort of feels, I guess, unfamiliar.
Two thoughts about Fables. I don't read it, so I'm good, and I'm not making fun of it. One was that I saw the cover in the store, and I thought it was a different book, like, because of the cover treatment. I thought the Fables, they were doing a mini series that was like the Fables crossover, so I thought it was a clever cover. And then from talking to people who read Fables and hearing stuff and just hearing your comments now, it sounds like, you know, he had his ending, and.
So that's exactly what happened.
Right, yeah.
Dollar signs pushed him past the end.
Exactly. And I wonder if that's going to be a good decision in the long run. So.
No, I think –
I don't read it, so I can't say.
Well, you can put whatever you want into it. He said that he got there and he thought of all sorts of other stuff that he could keep doing. And like, he could have naturally ended it there, but there's no reason that he can't keep going. There was never a dip in quality at any point.
Right.
Sounds like there is now, though.
No, I think it's not a quality dip. I think it's a when there's a radical shift and everything changes, it takes a little while for people to A, get used to what's going on, and B, get moving with it. It's not a fast moving book. It's a slow build up kind of book. In much the way, like, I don't know, something like Starman is. Like, it rewards you for reading it for a really long time.
I just did feel like people who used to talk about it all the time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Never talk about it anymore.
It's died down. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It used to be a year ago, you know, every week we talk about it, or somebody would talk about it. Something now, it's just like we never hear about Fables anymore.
Well, for a year, you know, they were doing the end bit, and then it was like 6 months of there's like a couple of issues of what happened after that, and then there was a few months of starting the new status quo, and this issue marks when it kicks into gear. And I liked it. It was really good. So I was happy to have it. And, you know, all the teams are firing on all cylinders, as it were. That was a lot of automotive metaphor. I'd like to apologize.
We pick a lot of number one issues as pick of the week. We just do. That's what we do.
Yep.
Just seems to happen. And oftentimes those books are never, ever heard from again on the show or in general. But G.I. Joe Cobra number 2, awesome.
Was it?
Still awesome. And
was not at the store. I tried to get it. Sorry.
If I had to pick, it would have been pick of the week again. It's just nailing. And Ron, you would really like this. It's very much 24-ish.
Oh yeah,
very much Chuckles as Jack Bauer. And
nice.
And this has just been a fantastic surprise. Christos Gage isn't someone who I've traditionally loved, but this is a fantastic book, and it's gotten better. And now so we're talking on the website on ifanboy.com. People are talking. You don't even really need the main book. I mean, this is the best
one. This
is
the book, yeah. Interesting.
That's good, because I can't find issues of the main book. I've looked.
But I'm happy that, you know, like, books that we talk about that just disappear off our radar, I'm happy so far. It's only been one more issue, but so far, so good with G.I. Joe Cobra. It's still sticking the quality level.
Hmm. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say, hey, that was another great issue of Walking Dead. I'll be honest. This is issue 60. I was kind of bored. I've been kind of bored.
Wow.
Because nothing's really happened for a while. And the thing is, even if something does happen, you're kind of so used to it. So-and-so's been killed. You know, somebody else is like... So most of the people who are with them now are people I don't know. I guess it's like half and half. But I was reading this, like, I'm just not really excited or tense in the way that I was at some point.
I wonder if that's... from reading it monthly as opposed to once a year.
Yeah, interesting.
Maybe. I don't know. But I know that I felt like this probably the past couple issues. Like, there have been good ones. You know when I think a lot of dramatic tension went out of it, I think, then? And I think you guys are both caught up to this.
Well, the very last – well, not Ron. Sorry.
No, but Ron saw some – well,
the last very last ever.
The very last trade ended with the entire status quo changing in a very
right.
deadly way, and then I'm assuming now they're in a whole new type of environment.
So, well, no, they're kind of on the road again. It's like right back to the beginning, but I think that when the one character who is very close to the other character,
I can leave if you want. I can just
you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Connor?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when that character died, I think it changed a little bit, and it's been harder to keep things glued together, I think, a little bit, because Rick is really, like, sort of just
his wife
mopey.
Got killed, right? She got, like,
yes,
mowed
yes,
down.
Yes.
Yeah. That happened at the end of the hardcover I read. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
After she got killed,
yeah.
I really think that they've lost something.
Did they kill the kid, too?
The baby, not the kid. So
not
it's just
the
dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just the dad and the son.
Yeah.
And... He's depressed. Like, he's only living for his son at this point, and it's not the same. Like, there's no – like, you don't get that spark of hope or happiness in him at all anymore. He's just kind of going through the motions to protect his son, and there's less dramatic tension for whatever reason. And it's – you know, it might pick up, but it's just this very slight feeling I've been noticing with the book.
Interesting.
And most people still seem to be loving it, so
well,
maybe it's just
I look
me.
Forward to talking to you about it in a year when the next hardcover comes out.
You know what's funny is that Kirkman's behind on all the trades of this, even though he's getting all the issues out on time.
Irony.
I've gotten a bunch of emails, been like, so where's the trades for Invincible 10?
Mm. They're on a slow boat from China. That's where they are.
Yeah.
So. All right, cool.
They've been hijacked by Somali pirates.
Oh, jeez. So if you go to ifanboy.com/comics, you can see all the comics that came out this week, and you can, if you log in, you can do your polls and pick the comics that you're going to buy, and then come back and rate and review them. And we want to share some of the comics that you, the iFan base, enjoyed this week or didn't enjoy. And our first one comes by reading some of the reviews from ifanboy.com. The first one comes from Face, who's writing about Transformers All Hail Megatron number 10. Of which he gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, 9.1% of the iFanboy community had this their pick of the week, which I was shocked by. I didn't even know this was in print, much less 10 issues.
I knew that this was a book that was out. I thought it was going to be a 4-issue series or something.
Yeah.
So, but I know that when it came out, people love the shit out of it. Go ahead.
And it was an explosion on the comments about the about this book, and so I had to look to see what the review, see what it was all about. And Face says that not a page, those designated to the story at least, or panel was wasted here. Someone could argue that a 2-page spread is a waste of good sequential real estate, but in the case of Omega Supreme's arrival, it's rarely done any better. This book was just, like I said, wow. Quite frequently, I ignore the opportunity to choose a pick of the week because I only read 3 to 4 issues and don't feel obligated, but I feel strongly enough at this one to make it my pick of the week, and I'm happy to see that a lot of other readers seem to be doing the same. I had no idea. We got some voicemails about Transformers as well. Like, I had no idea. Apparently, I need to go look into these Transformers titles.
Yeah.
I do have to admit the cover of this issue was.
This cover, because I looked at all the covers on iFanboy, and this particular book has great covers. They're very interestingly designed. They're very unique. I will give this book that much credit. Yeah. I don't have a lot of interest in Transformers beyond
movie. Never have.
And the old cartoons.
Yeah. Every time I do, it's funny because this is the first G.I. Joe too. Every time they've relaunched Transformers and G.I. Joe in recent years, I have picked it up to start, and this is the first time I didn't. And
missed the boat on G.I. Joe.
Yeah, sounds like I'm missing the boat on both of them. Fuck.
You must have bought some bad Transformers series.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Whew.
So I definitely have.
Don't remind me.
I don't really even care.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the problem is almost the problem with G.I. Joe is that there's like 14 Transformers books.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them. There's at least three. There's probably more than five.
Yeah.
And
each character
daunting.
Is two things.
Yeah. So which ones do you get? There's 14 characters. They all turn into boats. Maybe not boats. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of books. That's what I'm saying. And they all turn into boats.
Next up, Jess-TR, which I is some sort of...
Jester.
We'll go with that. I want to talk about Punisher number 4 by Rick Remender and Jermaine O'Pena. Gave the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5, and the user pick of the week percentage at this time of recording is 3.9%.
I thought it was Jerome O'Pena.
It is Jerome O'Pena. Good job. You passed. For someone used to reading the Garth Ennis version of Punisher, this is different. Though this is a different take, it's refreshing. The book has something that I haven't seen since Marvel Knights Punisher, and that is twisted dark humor. Some find the humorous one-liners bland and cliche. I think they're fun and make Frank seem more psychotic, though less dark and brooding. I have also been digging Frank's new sidekick, and then Microchip is revealed to have faked his death. Well, if you haven't been reading it, there you go. I like the idea that the Punisher is targeting supervillains, and I can't wait until he kills some. I'm sure Remender has plans for some more obscure villains to die horrible, amusing deaths. Opeña's art looks great. He can draw a mean-looking Frank Castle and a humorous Ant-Man helmet wearing Frank... Wait, that was a bad sentence. He can draw a good Frank Castle and an Ant-Man helmet. That's a paraphrase. I could do without the old white booties Punisher outfit, though. So far, this has been a fun, good-looking comic. He's right.
Good. I mean, yeah, he nailed it on the head. Is that Opeña? I mean, if you know, and especially you know, if you saw the video show this week, you saw Remender talking about being exclusive to Marvel. But you know, working with Opeña, it looks like you know he might be working with Tony Moore in the future. It's you know, it's still enjoyable. You know, just with other people's toys, I guess. You know,
mm-hmm. I could still.
You guys both read this book, though, right? You like it?
Yeah,
I do. It's amusing. Still, same issue I had with the very first one. I think the coloring, coloring.
Yeah, the Marvel coloring is getting out of hand. That's for sure.
It doesn't do Opeña any favors.
Yeah.
But the dude's the real deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the book is what the book is. It's a fun Punisher book. And pitting him against the Hood is actually a really good. That's what's going on now.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's a good pitting. Yeah, that's a good.
It is.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
A good scenario. So,
and really bad.
Yeah.
He's really bad.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a full-on, like, can you get me what I want? No. And he shoots that guy. That kind of thing. I don't know why there was an Ant-Man helmet. I may have missed something earlier, but at the end, he was, like, a full-page picture of him in an Ant-Man helmet.
Well, he had the full, like, Avengers outfit on, right? He had, like, the shield and the Hawkeye quiver and the Iron Man gloves, right? It was, like, a full-on thing.
Not inside the book.
Really?
No, it was just he had some grenades strapped on his chest and an Ant-Man helmet.
Somebody posted a picture on the forums, but that's all I know. So.
Probably upcoming, maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Maybe it's something else. Yeah.
Cool. So
let's talk. Yeah.
Before we do that, though, go to ifanboy.com/comics. Do your stuff. Maybe we'll read your review on a future show.
I think we're rusty.
I think we're a little rusty.
What's that? We're a little rusty. There it is. I want to thank our sponsor, Netflix. You can go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy to if you haven't signed up. Are there any of you left out there who haven't signed up for that? That's a good place. You can get a free 2-week trial starting at just $4.99. There are over 100,000 titles. There are many ways to consume Netflix, and they charge you a couple extra bucks a month if you want to have a Blu-ray disc delivered. And my Blu-ray disc player is fixed, so I'm back to doing that. But also, like, the Watch It Now stuff's actually been really cool. Like, I've been using that a lot lately. Everything comes within about a day. you know, it's just I couldn't imagine living without the service, is what I'm saying.
And Connor, you got the Roku box, right?
Yeah, I got the Roku box, which is the Watch It Now thing. If you don't have, what was it, Xbox, I guess?
Yeah.
You could do it on Xbox 360 or you could do it on a PC or a Mac.
And I've been, you know, consuming 3 or 4 hours a night on the Roku box. It's out of hand. It's a little bit out of hand. I've been going through.
Anymore.
No, it's free. It's totally free. You just buy the box. You pay the fee for the box. And it's literally, you can stream as much as you can possibly stream. And I've been watching British TV shows like a madman. I've gone to like four shows. Nice. It's just been ridiculous. And now I think I do live in England. I go outside and wonder why it looks like America.
Conversely, I've been watching the American Office again.
Oh, well, there you go.
I found exactly the point when it went downhill. Anyway.
Oh. I've been railing against it. It needs to end. So.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
That's a different time.
Yeah.
So. I've been watching Quantum Leap, Ron. They've got all five seasons.
Nice, yeah. No, I recently got in the mail, I got the Doctor Strange animated movie, and then I opened it, I go, I don't know why I picked this, and I put it right back in the mailbox. I just had no at some point, I was like, oh, I should probably watch that, probably years ago, and then I was just like, I just mailed it right back. So
out there right now, I got Ken Burns Civil War Disc 3 waiting for me, and I'm so excited I can't even explain it.
That's funny, I've got the two-disc Gettysburg.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There
convergence, psychic convergence. Lovely. Media space.
So, all right. So normally, bet now we would go into the email, but we haven't done a bunch of voicemails for a couple weeks, so we're going to bypass the emails. But we want to remind you to keep writing into contact@ifanboy.com. Write in your questions, the things you need to know. We love to hear from you. And on next week's show, we'll go back to the emails. But in the meantime, let's dive into the voicemails. We got a bunch of them. This first one, we hear back from an iFanboy member.
Hi, iFanboy. This is Patrick Canum from Holt Summit, Missouri. Just wanted to let you know I got the membership pack a week or so ago. Yeah, nice sticker. Those pins were great. That one was an awesome surprise. Then there was the comic Army at Love #1. I looked at it and thought, what is this crap? And, the cover looked like a Harlequin romance thing with soldiers. But finally I thought, what the hell, and decided to read it, and oh, cool. There were like 18 bare boobs in it. Awesome. Yeah, iFanboy, you know your fans better than they know themselves or ourselves or whatever. I'm lonely. Bye.
And that is why we do it.
Yes.
Or I really didn't like that series and specifically remember taking it out and, ooh, I can get rid of this.
I thought, let's not admit that. I thought I thought this voicemail was going to go in a different direction.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought we were going to yell that.
Yeah.
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 Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. So the benefits of becoming an iFanboy member, we're reading your mind, giving you the comics you want. So.
And just a member update. If you sign up to be a member, we sent out 60-70% of the packs. We have the remaining packs getting ready to go by the end of the month. They'll be out in the mail. So you should, if you become a member and you haven't got your pack yet, be patient. It should only be a few more weeks and you should have it. We apologize for the delay. We ran out of supplies. We had to reorder
hundreds
stuff.
Of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for your support, definitely, too, so, and your patience. So.
And the thing with the comic is, literally, we just make a big stack, and the one on top goes in the next envelope. So
there's no premeditation. There's no like saying, "Oh, I think
if you get one you don't like, it's
sorry."
That's just the way it goes.
But you're compelled to read it. You have to read it.
Yeah. I like that, and I like that. Like I didn't like a book, but he did, and did like a book.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Like it's paying it forward.
Yeah. And one lucky member is going to get my copy of Action Comics #1.
Ooh, really?
Wow.
No, they will not.
All right. Our next voicemail has got a question that everyone really should know the answer to.
Hey, guys. This is Pat from Chicago, Patio on the website. I love the show. Love the video podcasts. I was trying to find an old video podcast when you did the Why the Last Man retrospective, but... And I skipped it at the time because I hadn't read it, but now I wanted to go back, and I can't find it because the feed only goes back to, like, last fall. So how do I do – is that available? I mean, you know, I know it's probably a lot to stream all that, but just wondering. All right, thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Oh, Pat. Killing me, Pat. First off, to answer your question, if you go to the feeds in like iTunes of the iFanboy Video Show, you only find the last 25 episodes because we put out 117 And it's actually very expensive to keep those episodes out via the feeds. Bandwidth costs at Revision 3 are, you know, it's a challenge. So we try to keep it to within the past 25. But every episode is available for you to download directly. If you're on ifanboy.com, just at the very top of the page in the navigation, click the word podcasts, and there's audio podcast, video podcast, and you can go browse every episode that's ever come out. You can go to the search bar and just search Why the Last Man or video, Why the Last Man, any sort of way. You can go to revision3.com/ifanboy, where you can find every episode there for you to download. It's a little more work, but you can get it. And Pat, you should know that.
You're on ifanboy.com. You've got a username. You should see the little top nav bar, podcasts, boom, video podcasts, boom.
They're all there. So for all of you who want to find older episodes of the video show, ifanboy.com/podcasts, click into the video section. You can find all the minis. You can find all the weekly shows. Josh, how many shows have we done? You did the math. Like we're in the hundreds.
Lot.
Yeah, it's
like,
a lot.
Like, well, it was 117 weekly shows. There was
130-ish
minis. We're on, this is 180.
Yeah.
Plus at least 10 Talksplodes, a bajillion special. I mean, like, we're in the high three digits.
Oh, my God. What have we done with our lives?
Nothing.
Oh, my God. This is like an awful realization right now.
It's like the opposite.
Not a show. This is an intervention.
This is like I fell asleep in 2005 and woke up in 2009 going, oh.
Did I finish Warcraft? What happened?
What level am I?
So, Pat, ifanboy.com/podcasts. All right. And I want to hear.
Anyone want to go grind? What's happening?
All right. Our next voicemail is going to make me think a little.
Hey, this is Will from Tennessee. It's been a while since I've called, but you know, I was listening to y'all talk about the Eisner Award nominations. I was just kind of thinking that, you know, maybe this year, since we don't have a best single issue, but you know, there's still, you know, best collections and stuff, that, you know, maybe this is kind of the judges sort of acknowledging the fact that the medium is, you know, in the process of kind of transitioning away from the single issue. I mean, I know that, you know, Marvel and DC aren't going to stop putting out floppies for a long time, but, you know, we're starting to see more OGNs from the companies, and, you know, the book sales, like at Borders and Barnes & Noble, are really starting to, you know, be kind of bread and butter for some of these companies. So I was just wondering if maybe this was kind of the judges being a little bit more forward-thinking than, you know, we're giving them credit for, or I could be completely wrong. So I'd like to hear y'all's opinion on that. Have a great week. Adios.
Well, that's a good question, which we will answer with pure and idle speculation.
Well, I mean, when I heard Will's question, my first thought was he's speculating. He's obviously right. That's obviously what they're doing. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But I think that's absolutely their motivation. So
it's a bad motivation because part of the art of writing comic books, you know, like there's the endurance run and then there's the sprint. And there are certain guys, and I don't want the single issue to become a lost art.
Yep, me too.
Like the guys who could, like Brian K. Vaughan, can write a hell of a fucking single issue.
Yeah, Brad Meltzer.
And that should still be, yeah, well.
One, he can write one issue.
But I mean, that should be a skill that people go for. And that's like a cornerstone of what comics have been. Even if you're writing for trades, like to be able to write a great single chapter.
Yeah.
You know, a standalone story, a one and done, any of those things.
The single's dying, and if it dies, it dies. But I do think since they're still being put out, they should be acknowledged. I mean, I'm a trade guy, and I would love to see the single issue die. But since they're still not dead and they still come out, they should be honored. And that's my take on it. Like, yeah, I don't. You know, I'd rather have trades, but at the same time, singles do exist, so there's no reason to prematurely stop acknowledging them and stop honoring them because. You know, the industry's moving one way, but it hasn't moved that way yet, so you should still, you know.
Are we also moving away from new artists, which is why we're not acknowledging them either?
Yeah.
No one new gets to work.
Nobody new gets noticed.
The door's closed.
No one else deserves special recognition.
Well, have you read comics lately? Really?
All right.
Last couple of weeks?
Our next question is a question close to Connor's heart.
Hey, this is Dave calling from Denver, Colorado. I just bought what I thought was going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths via Amazon.com and waited a couple weeks and was pretty excited when I saw a box on my doorstep. Only problem is what I bought was a prose version, so like a written version of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I think it's by Wolfman still. My question for you guys is this. If I sit down and read comic books, certain level of geekiness, if I sit down and read a book about comic books, have I crossed some sort of line? Am I in some new dimension of geekhood? I don't know. Maybe I worry too much about this stuff, but I thought I'd throw it out there for you guys. Thanks.
First of all, always double check what you order.
Yes, always.
Because that sucks. I'm sorry. Although I did laugh. It was funny to be told. I don't think it's weird to read novelizations of comics.
You love
them. No more weird than it is to read a novelization of anything. Yeah. I own like 5 comic book novelizations. I have that Crisis novel. I have the Kingdom Come novel. I have the No Man's Land novel, which was written by Greg Rucka. I have the 2 Queen of Country novels written by Greg Rucka, which aren't necessarily novelizations, but they are continuations of the story.
Do the Death of Superman?
Death of Superman novel, yep, by Roger Stern. It's no different than a novelization of a movie or anything else. It's just different. It's an adaptation in a different form. There's no shame in it.
Are those Queen and Country books still in print?
I don't know.
The second one.
Private Wars and A Gentleman's Game, right? That's the name of them?
Yeah, I read one of them.
I have them both if you want to borrow the other one. But they're all good. I mean, it's just a different way. And I shouldn't feel any shame. But you should double check your orders. That's what you should take out of this.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. Am I ordering what I think I'm ordering?
That's the lesson to be learned here. So.
That's pretty funny, though. You open the box up expecting a trade and you get a...
That'd be bad. So our last voicemail is a very
novelization. 20 words.
Novelization, no less wordy, by the way.
No more wordy, you mean.
Our last voicemail is very timely, talking about a book we didn't talk about this episode.
Hi, iFanboy. I saw that 100 Bullets, issue 100, was coming out recently, and I've never read it before, but I wanted to ask if it would be okay to jump in. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I think you should be able to start up with 100 right away. That totally fits in with what we've been saying.
Dive right in. It'll be fine.
Just use Wikipedia.
I read the book for 50 issues, and after 30, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't get this at all. I read the book through the 50s, and then I gave up. From everything I understand, it's a book that you have to go back and read in chunks. Or closer to one time, and I'm guessing it makes a lot more sense at that point. But there are a lot of characters and a lot of stuff. And from everything I hear, it feels like the book shed all of the people who weren't enjoying it, because for the last bit, like, people have been really into this book, and 100...
The hardcore fans seem to stay with the book.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's very good, because I was like, blown away by it for a really long time. But I just lost it. 100 issues is a lot. That's a lot of comic books. And I remember when it first came out, which means I'm very old, I was like, wow, 100 issues. That's years and years and years away, and he did it. And that's awesome.
It's a feat, totally. He definitely deserves credit for it, even if it doesn't
make it. They both did it, right?
Yeah. And Dave Johnson on the covers, and they definitely deserve a pat on the back, even if it doesn't make any sense.
The thing is, I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it does, too. I'm just teasing.
Ron is just bitter because he had an altercation with Brian Azzarello.
I'd rather not talk about it.
I have a weird history with 100 Bullets. Josh got both of us the trades
for
Christmas one year, many years ago, and I liked it. So I started buying the issues. Like, at that point, they were in the 30s.
Yep.
And figuring I would fill the hole in via eBay, because at the time that was like the early 2000s where I was buying all these old series and runs on eBay.
I remember that.
And never got around to it, but bought the book for like 2.5 years.
Nice.
So there's about 25 of you getting 100 Bullets in the members packs.
You can just jump right in on whatever issue you get. Yeah.
Unread.
Yeah, they're totally unread. They went right in bags and boards. Yep. Never got read. They're totally, mint condition.
At first, I really thought it was going to be a bunch of one-and-done stories like that. I almost thought it was going to be an anthology series, and that's what I was loving about it. Not the case.
But you hate anthologies.
I hate people, but I love gatherings.
Odd.
All right, so if you have a question, you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. All right, so it is time. We've been teasing it for the past month or so. We have a page of original Mike Allred artwork from Red Rocket 5. Red Rocket 7?
Name of the book.
Yeah, Red Rocket
7. Red Rocket 7.
There is no Red Rocket 5.
and no Red Rocket 7, I'm holding it in my hand. I'm looking at it. He signed it.
Oh, I spilled.
Nice. It's in plastic. Don't worry. He signed it. It is from issue 1, page 5. It's a great kind of opening chapter page. And one lucky iFanboy member is going to receive this, and that winner is William K. Scurry Jr. Congratulations, William. You are the winner of the Mike Allred original art page. So we will be contacting you to coordinate getting it to you, and we'll be very careful in that regard. congratulations, and don't forget, for those of you, sorry you didn't win, we're going to have more giveaways like this, and the only way you can win is if you're an iFanboy member, so make sure you sign up today.
An original art page, that is badass.
This is several hundred dollars of art.
You know that for years I have been William K. Scurry. He's my alt identity.
Nice.
Makes shipping easy. Yeah. Get to ifanboy.com. That is our website. That is where we pour our heart and soul and many, many keystrokes. The pick of the week review goes up there every Wednesday, the nice written review and all sorts of discussion. You go to the comics section, there's discussion on every single book that comes out. So there's always a place to talk about it, even if we're not talking about it here. Tons of cool stuff. You can go to ifanboy.com/about to see the social network links, stuff like that. While you're there, you can go over to ifanboy.com/Amazon. That is in no way homophobic. And you can go to ifanboy.com/store to look at the memberships, which I'll tell you about in a second. However, it is important, while you're there, you are going to find there's going to be a thread that says you can help choose the books that we are going to do on our next, not next video show, but on a future video show. Basically, if there's something that you've been burning to think that each of us should read or whatever, not a 100-issue run, a story, a trade, something like that.
Something that's readable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And something that's obtainable. Don't be like, you should read Miracle Man 16, because that's very hard.
I could read that.
I know. But it was the best example I had. Anyway, go on there. There's going to be rules about that. We'll pick like we did with the manga show. Give us a bunch of suggestions. You get one choice. We'll pick the first one. But that's all written there. Look for that. It's going to be a red post on the top of the thing. And also, Paul Montgomery, one of our staff writers, has started a comics creation challenge, a contest, if you will. If you've been thinking about making comics, now is the time. We'll link to this in the show notes also, but it was on the site earlier this week. And if you can come up with you can either write a script and that would work, or you can find an artist, or you can draw it, an adaptation of your favorite fable or fairy tale or you know, legend kind of story. Go look at the link, read up on that. There's a couple of prizes involved. The Writing Pictures, Drawing Words book from First Second Press on how to make comics, and we recently added the collection of James Jean's Fables covers as prizes to be judged by Paul.
That's a fun contest. And you don't need to be an iFanboy member for this contest, but we suggest it. But
you don't need to be an artist, but you need to get up ass and do something. Go read about it. It's really cool. Tons of response. I'm really glad. I'm going to be doing something. I'm not eligible to win.
Yes. So, yeah, it's really cool. I was psyched when I saw that post. So, very cool. Enter today.
Another way of supporting iFanboy, as we mentioned earlier, is to become an iFanboy member. That's how you win the prizes. For $4 a month or $42 a year, you get the iFanboy prize pack, which includes a sticker, some buttons, and the aforementioned random comic book from our collections. Maybe it'll be 100 bullets. Maybe it won't be. Some of you might have got that already. You can also get the higher level membership, which is $10 a month or $100 a year, which gets you the prize pack, plus the special edition iFanboy members t-shirt, which is exclusive to members. You can only get it by being a member. And that's how it really helps the show out. Really, we really appreciate it. Every member is important to us. We are about halfway to our ideal goal. So if you're thinking about it and you wanted to support the show, if you want a chance with these great prizes, become an iFanboy member today.
I got to say, one of the coolest things is walking around Seattle at the Emerald City Comic Con and seeing not just one random person, but like multiple people in iFanboy member shirts wearing them proudly, seeing people with Herm buttons and IF buttons. And it was very, very cool to see everybody come out at the con and represent iFanboy. And I hope to see it at San Diego and all the other cons. So it's a good way to get noticed and to know who you know, that you're a member. So thank you.
You're doing the right thing. You're doing God's work.
Yeah.
What you're doing.
Something else we'd like to offer for the people and helps the show out too is our limited edition t-shirts. And if you liked the Herm shirt, that was the first one, which is now sold out. The new shirt's available. It's the Great Power, Get Responsibility shirt. And you can find that at store.ifanboy.com. And that one is available for pre-order. It's going to go on sale in about a month in May. So if you want to make sure you get on that shirt now and not miss out, like with the Herm shirt, then you should go and pre-order it now. We've got a lot of pre-orders.
They've been flying off the virtual shelves.
So don't miss out. As you do, we are thinking about possibly redoing the Herm shirt. We're asking if you're interested to email us at contact@ifanboy.com with Herm in the title and your name and what size you'd want. But we're getting a good response to that. We're about halfway to the point where we would reorder the shirts. So if you want a Herm shirt and missed out thinking about it, we'll just let us know, because if you want it, we'll do a new run on it. But we won't if we don't hear from people. So that's something to keep in mind.
It's important to note that neither of the shirts have anything to do with comics.
No,
yes, none. Nothing whatsoever.
Random confluence of words.
We just
pictures.
Thought there were interesting designs. So yeah. If you want a safer t-shirt in terms of copyright, you can go to revision3.com/store and pick up the iFanboy intern shirt. There's a few still left. $15.99. Get them while you can.
Kind of safe.
Kind of.
Every Wednesday we've got a video show, revision3.com/iFanboy and at iFanboy.com, or on your TiVo on Thursday, I believe, right?
Yep.
On Thursday.
TiVo. Well, we're working. That's TiVo. It takes a day or so before it comes out. So sometimes Thursday. We're trying to get it back to Wednesday. So.
Well, whatever. TiVo's good.
Yep.
This past week you saw Ron and Gordon the Intern's Wacky Adventures in Emerald City Con, which was certainly an eye-opener. I don't know why we let you off the leash by yourself.
It was wacky, wasn't it?
But we might have to institute a rules about that. We'll have a meeting later. We'll talk to my PA.
It was like an hour straight of Ron.
It's too much Ron for anyone.
No, really, you did a good job. You went and did a con, you know, for all intents and purposes by yourself.
Dude, you have no idea. Oh, man, it was exhausting.
I do have an idea.
Yeah, no, it was exhausting. You do, actually. You, of all people, you both have an idea of what we did. Yeah,
I would say that if anybody can relate to you here,
you're talking to us.
Yeah. Next week is the Vault Show. It's our return to the Vault. We've got some cool books to talk about, so look for that next Wednesday. And you can email us at contact@fanboy.com. You can call us at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, with any comments or questions or concerns, discussion topics, anything you want, rants about how we hate a certain podcast, anything.
We don't hate Around Comics.
We love those guys.
We said they stink.
Irony
you
alert.
Think we'd really go after somebody and say they stink?
Yeah, but we have more reviews than them, so whatever.
That's true. They stink.
Irony alert!
And if you do like us better than Around Comics, you can leave a review at iTunes. leave a review for Around Comics. They're great too. Whatever podcast you listen to, leave a review in iTunes. It really helps them get noticed by new listeners and that sort of thing. Or better yet, you know, go out and tell people about iFanboy if you haven't already, or if they're tired of hearing about it, just keep doing it. Keep railing on them. iFanboy. Help us get the word out. We really appreciate everybody who has done that, so thank you. All right. Well, that was a doozy of a show, that's for sure. So,
is that a good or a bad word?
A good word.
It was a doozy.
It was a good doozy.
So. Doozy of a word.
All right. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Josh.
You always turn into Eeyore at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you have. You used to do a little funny what you are, but now you just moan. I'm Josh.
You know, I don't have to do this.
I've done this 180 times.
I mean, personally, I could walk away right now. I've got my fucking fill. You know what I mean?